Morning. Thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here with you all this morning. I'd like to speak a little bit this morning about freedom, liberty. It's kind of that weekend that the world, or at least our nation, is celebrating, a time of celebration of past accomplishments that's brought freedom and liberty to us as a people. And I think even more than just as Americans, as Christian people, the liberty that we find in Christ. And I think it's sometimes, as most good things can be, taken for granted whenever things are going well, and when things are seemingly, I know there's a tendency of us as American people to assume that things are always going to be the way they are, and that I'm going to be able to make decisions and choices the way I want to make them, and go where I want to go, and cross state lines without being having to go through checkpoints like other countries have. We just don't even think about that kind of thing because it's always been in our lifetime, and we assume that it always will be. And but liberty is something to value a lot, because it, whenever you lose it or whenever you don't have it, the opposite of liberty is bondage. And whenever you find yourself in bondage, it's not a good place to be. And I would like for us to think a little bit about our liberties, but I also like to think about some bondage that the Lord wants to help us with. I'd like to begin in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 3. And I'd like to begin in verse 16. Very familiar scripture that we've read a lot of times. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Speaking of Moses and the veil that he had whenever he was had seen God, had a veil on his face. When he came back down to talk to the people, the glory on his face was so bright, so shiny, that they couldn't look upon his face. And they had a veil over that. And he was referring to, the writer here was referring to that veil. Maybe we can back up to the verse 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So thinking of that veil that is he was referring to here, and about the veil on our hearts, and I thought how sometimes you and I fail to be able to experience the liberty and the freedom that God has for us because of a veil that has been placed upon our hearts, because of something in us that is keeping us from being able to enjoy the liberties and the freedoms that we have. I'd like to, first of all, maybe give a little definition about what true freedom is. Sometimes we think of freedom as doing whatever we want to do, being able to do whatever we want to do whenever we want to do it. But true freedom is not being able to do what you want to do. It's to be able to do what you ought to do. And there's a difference. I thought of the story of the prodigal son. And one of the things that he was seeking for and desiring was freedom. I'm sure that his lifestyle at home, living around his family and living around the structure that had been his life. And it's a very typical thing for teenagers whenever they reach that age where they begin to think, you know, one of these days, I'm not going to live here any longer. I'm not going to have mom and dad over me telling me what to do. And I'm going to be able to make my own choices and my own decisions. Well, that's always an exciting, challenging time for a young person's life. It can also be a very frightening time, especially if you're used to protection and security and your home has been safe. It's been a place that you didn't have to worry about being mistreated. And so sometimes people that have enjoyed the real freedoms and the real security of a home maybe don't reach out for that maybe quite as much. But I think it's pretty innate within all human beings that whenever you become about 17 or 18 years old, that you want to experience a little bit of life yourself and make your own choices and your own decisions. And that's what the prodigal son had in mind. I've been in bondage here. I've had to do what dad's told me to do. And I think the way it sounded to me, it was probably a farming experience. They had cattle and all that sort of thing. So he probably had chores and he probably had a structured life that he had to live. And his thinking was that I'm going to be able to go out and enjoy a different life, a free life, a life where I can do whatever I want to do. And that has some appeal to the flesh to be able to do what you want to do. And he made sure that he was secure enough in money whenever he left that he was able to have and enjoy what he wanted to do. And it sounds to me like that's what he did. He went out and did what he wanted to do. And he lived a wild life and had a lot of fun and a lot of friends. And all of that was wonderful until one day the money ran out. And so and he ended up this seeking for freedom and liberty and in pleasure. He ran out of money and he ended up in bondage, didn't he? To the point that he was having to, or attempted to eat the husks from the corn that they were feeding the hogs. And so it's a good object lesson there. The seeking for liberty sometimes will take you exactly the opposite direction than what you thought it would. It's very tantalizing sometimes to want to do what you want to do. But it's much safer and in the end, much more fulfilling and much more liberating to do what you ought to do, not what you... Remember when he came back? Remember what the father said to him when he... said to his son, actually, the other son that didn't leave, said, you know, you killed the fatted calf for the brother that went off and wasted all your stuff. And he said, well, you know, all this stuff's available to you anytime you want it. You could have a fatted calf every night to eat if that's what you want. In other words, there was real liberty there that sometimes we fail to see. And I would challenge us that in the kingdom of God, it's the very same way. You and I will find that there's more freedom inside than there is out there. Though you may not always do what the flesh may want to do, ultimately you'll end up doing what you know you ought to do, and it turns out to be the most freeing, liberating and freeing asset to your life. There are some dangers with freedom, because freedom can be abused to the point that it becomes a stumbling block to others. Scripture in 1 Corinthians 8 and 9, I'll go through some of these quickly. It says, "But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." And it was speaking of the meat incident, you know, whether it was right to eat this meat or not eat this meat, And part of that was based upon the old law. And he was saying that he was at liberty. He could do, and you know, there are some things that you and I can do that really there's nothing wrong with. But we've got to be careful. Because the thing about freedom It's not just personal. There's more than me here in this world. There's more than me that I need to be concerned about. And there's more than me that I need to be thinking about, how's this going to affect this situation or this person. I need to be thinking about my actions in regard to other people. I thought of the example that's given many times where we have in this nation freedom of speech, but it is illegal to holler out fire in a crowded building when there's a lot of people there. You don't have the freedom to do that because you can cause people to die through trying to get out from that kind of situation. And that's typical of other areas in our life where you and I, yes, maybe we can do certain things, but should we? Ought we to? Because sometimes it can have a negative influence on other people, and we need to be concerned about that kind of freedom. I've thought about the term free expression, freedom of expression. And there is a desire, by some anyway, to be able to just say whatever they want to say and do whatever they want to do, and no matter who it influences. And there is a certain amount of that, a certain part of that that is, it kind of walks a fine line. It's kind of like your neighbor, you know. I appreciate the ability to do what I want to do with my own property. I like to be able, we lived in West Virginia for a long time. They didn't have building codes and all that kind of stuff, you know, that people have to deal with. And that was a blessing. You know, I could go out, if I wanted to build a barn, I'd go build a barn. I could build it the way I wanted to build it. It could fall down in a week, or it could last for 100 years. That was my business. It's my land. And there's something about that that I think all of us kind of appreciate. But who wants to have a guy move in beside you and decides, I'm going to park 100 cars there in my yard, you know, that's rusted and that's wrecked, and all it does is depreciate the value of my house and everybody's around me. Well, maybe he has the freedom to do that, and in our situation it did, and there was a zoning structure or a zoning conflict going on when we left there over those kinds of things. But you know, if I decide that it doesn't really matter what you think about how I do live my life and take care of my property, at the expense of you and your freedom, then I have done you a damage, and I don't really have the right to do that. So true freedom is not just doing what I want to do. It's doing what I ought to do. And it's the same in the kingdom of God. Now, another scripture there in Galatians where it said not to use your freedom for occasion to the flesh. Now, let's look in John 8. Jesus was speaking about freedom, liberty. Verse 32. In beginning in the verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. But sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed, or for sure. This scripture that Jesus was speaking, really, the whole story here really challenges us, who we are, because true freedom is within. It's in the heart. It's kind of like the Sunday school lesson this morning on the kingdom of God. It's an internal thing. It's inside us. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, one scripture said about the kingdom. Freedom's the same way. Freedom's something within us. And it, Christ's purpose in bringing salvation was to bring us freedom, bring us deliverance. And the Lord wants to deliver each one of us. And I would like to say this morning that I believe that you and I many times live below our privileges, because there's a lot of people that are still in bondage. And sometimes we think of that, and I want to categorize the freedoms in a way this morning and think about them, because sometimes this issue is not just a black and white issue. Now, we know that sin is a black and white issue. We know that Jesus came to deliver us from sin. He came to enable us to live a life that is no more in the bondage, under the clutches of Satan, where we have to do what he wants us to do. He came to free us from that. It was so plain. Remember the story of when Jesus came to the man that had been running in the tombs, and he was in severe bondage by Satan. And so much so, he had no control over his life at all. And Jesus come along and delivered him. And he was a man in his right mind. Well, that is maybe an extreme case of seeing the difference between freedom and bondage. But there's many cases that are not quite that severe and not quite that clear cut. And sometimes you and I maybe don't always recognize it. We don't always see it. There's so many things that happen that have a way of stifling who we are and who God wants us to be. When I think about what God wants out of you and I in our lives, it's so much more than sometimes we give him credit for. I believe that I'm still convinced. I believe that Jesus and that the Godhead in heaven, knows who we are. And he knew who we were before this ever began. While I was yet in my mother's womb, he named me. He gave me an individuality about me. He gave me a personality. He gave me who I was to be. I believe at that time he ordained who I would become. Now, that doesn't mean I necessarily in predestination. That doesn't mean that we are predestined and it's going to happen. This is the way we're going to turn out, because you and I have a say-so in our structure and in our lives and how we are going to deal with and handle the things that come our way. So that will affect us whether or not we're going to even be able to truly enjoy the liberty that is in Christ. Because Jesus said, I come to make them free indeed, for sure, completely. And I believe that this is an ongoing challenge for you and I in our lives, to speak of it. We look around and think about the challenge that our nation today, and I'm sure most of us are up to date and know what's going on. The freedoms that you and I have always enjoyed and appreciated is in jeopardy today. More than it ever has been in my lifetime, and maybe since the founding of this nation. There have been some very severe times. The war between the states was one of those. And there's been other times, the Great Depression, that put a challenge to who we are, who we were as a people. But we are in a strait right now that could potentially destroy or change our lives for generations to come, and maybe forever, as long as time goes on, economically and other factors that are involved in that. That's there, and I'm not really that interested this morning in that, but I'd like for us to also realize that the freedoms that you and I have experienced and expect and appreciate are also being challenged all the time around us. And you and I need to be aware of the struggle that goes on, and we need to be aware where those struggles are, just as if I was trying to solve the problems that our nation has, I would want to be up to date about all the details of what's going on. Well, I'm not trying to solve their problems, because I realize I can, and I'm not sure they even know how or anyone else knows how. But spiritual problems are where we're supposed to be concerned and thinking about. And that's why this message this morning is about. I'd like to first of all think about physical freedom. Now, You and I don't really understand or know a whole lot about that, because I don't know that anybody here has ever been a slave to where you were not able to do what you wanted to do or lived in a free a freedom that we just sort of expect. It's one of the things that our founding fathers said, you know, that's who we are, the pursuit of happiness and freedom and liberties. That's just kind of the very desire within a person to be free. It's hard for me to comprehend what it would be like to be physically in bondage. But there's a lot of people, and you and I probably, before we get out of here, are going to experience some physical bondage. Restrictions. Things that keep us from doing what we want to do. All you have to do is get arthritis in your hip, and you become restricted to certain... And you can get so enfeebled where you're not able to function at all as a human being. And that's a form of bondage, physical bondage. You're restricted. You can't go out. You have to have somebody do everything for you. Well, that's a very difficult, hard place to be. And I believe that, and I know for sure that physical problems, physical troubles, physical insecurities, insecurity is a form of bondage. It can cause us to become bound where we're not free to do what we want to do. Insecurity breeds fear. And so when I become afraid, then I'm not able to go out without feeling in bondage. I wonder what they're going to say about me. I wonder all of those kinds of internal things that go on. So physical bondage can cause a whole lot of other problems. It can cause spiritual bondage also. And we need to be aware of that. I think about the boys that I work with. Almost every one of them has come from abusive situations in their early growing up. And it was a physical bondage. Some of them were, one of them particularly was put in a closet and not allowed to get out at all for, I don't know, a couple of years. Just fed him that way. There was others that were, one of them was put in a box and he would be rolled down the stairs just to see how it felt. And the parents would do that to him. There were other physical abuses that went on, either damaging them, hurting them with fists or with those kinds of things, or other kinds of physical abuses that children should never... All of that was a bondage, a physical bondage, but it created an extreme insecurity within these children to the point to where they became defensive. A little boy come into my dorm last week, 12 years old. He's about that tall. And he has got written across his chest, "I am not going to do what you tell me to do, and you can't control me." That's just kind of what's his approach to life. But he's been in the foster system since he was 4 years old. And he's went from institution to house to home. All those, and all of that has created within him an insecurity to where he's out to face, it's the world against him. He's out there facing all of it, and he's had to put up some defenses within himself, and he doesn't realize it, but he's in extreme bondage. He cannot be free to build relationships. He can't be free to learn how valuable it can be to have structure in his life. He fights against structure. Structure can be the very best thing he can have, because he's never had real positive structure. So this physical bondage that these boys have experienced, and that many of us sometimes have experienced and not maybe really thought about it a whole lot, has generated a lot of emotional bondage. And I think that's probably more difficult to detect. Things like rejection. You know, rejection is something that's, you know, it's kind of a popular word maybe. A person walks off and leaves you. Somebody, an important person. Or a person that was important to you dies. It's really easy for me to emotionally receive that as they rejected me. They left me. And whenever that happens, I have to put something in its place to cope, to survive. And so I put a defense there, whether it's a closing off that emotional feeling that I had toward that person that was very important to me and close to me, now they left me for whatever reason, and now they're not there for me to love anymore or to love me. And so I put this safeguard that I don't get too close to people, because when you get close to people, they hurt you or they leave you and they reject you. That kind of little scenario that happens in a person's life, it can be a companion. It can be a parent with a child. This is happening over and over and over again. I mean, the single parent homes in our culture today is mind-boggling. 70% among black families, over 50% in white families. It's just getting extreme. And it's what's happening to these children that are experiencing this is that they don't understand what security is. And when you don't understand what security is, you can't understand what freedom is. Because freedom is coming from a secure situation. It's only whenever I can be assured that my past is forgiven that I can face the future. I was talking to a boy recently, one of the boys recently, and he's so far out. He doesn't believe in God. He doesn't believe, well, I don't know if he does or not. He believes in animals and people are all the same level, and believes in reincarnation and just a lot of other stuff. He's an intellectual type boy, so he's read a lot, and he's got his mind all messed up with stuff like that. And he for sure doesn't like the idea of Christianity. Some boy brought up heaven and hell in a group the other day and about a behavior. If you do this, you'll go to hell. And this boy just laughed and said, "Who believes in that stuff?" Well, anyway, I've developed a relationship with him and started talking to him. And he's listened to me, and I listen to him. I listen to all of his junk. Some of it's beyond my imagination. But because I've been willing to listen to him, he's willing to listen to what I've got to say. And so the other night I was talking to him, and he was troubled, and he's having some problems. And I said, "Tristan, what would you think if I could take what you've done in your life and wipe it all clean, give you a completely clean slate, and let's start all over again?" And he said, "I would like that." I said, "Well, that's what I believe. That's the message of Christianity. You can wipe that past off and start over again." Well, that's a wonderful message to people that are hurting. If they can get to the place where they can believe that's true, it's hard. It really is hard, because what happens to these people, particularly the children that I work with, they were abused, so they became abusers. It just follows a pattern. And that's the part they struggle with, because they are so victimized by what happened to them, and they go through this love-hate relationship with the people that did that to them. And yet they turn around and do the very same things to other people. And it's hard for them to live with themselves. They struggle with depression. They struggle with... But have any of us ever struggled with depression? I would venture to say some of us have. And it comes from insecurities. It comes from a sense of, "I don't know, I'm not sure." Those are all bondages. They keep us from being what God really wants us to be. Keeps us from being able to say, "I'm free indeed, for sure." And it brings about the joy and the lightness and the exhilaration that should come from worshiping and serving God. Sometimes we struggle with that kind of feeling and emotion, don't we? Because sometimes we feel like we don't deserve it. Sometimes we feel like it just can't be a part of me because I don't really know that it's that clear. It's kind of like the whole idea of love being unconditional. That's so difficult for you and I to comprehend, because so often love is given with conditions. To comprehend that God truly loves us unconditionally is liberating. It can free us. It's the very essence of who he was. Remember when Jesus came and sat in the temple and they asked him to read. And he stood up and he read over there and began to read in Isaiah, the scripture in 61 and 1. Let's read it. Because this is truly the message to ourselves, and it's the message that we have to offer other people. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That was the very message when Jesus came in and announced the beginnings of his ministry. That's what he proclaimed. He stood up and read that, and then he sat back down. And he said, this day, this has been fulfilled. Well, that applies to you and I also. To bind up those that are hurting and to proclaim liberty to the captives. I find that the more freedom that I learn, the more liberated I become, the clearer my message to those that are captivated becomes. It's difficult for me if I'm struggling with bondage somewhere to be able to proclaim liberty to the person that's experiencing bondage. You and I, so we don't want, and here's the one of the biggest factors to keep this message from being clearly understood is when a person that you're proclaiming that to can turn it around and point it back at you and say, yeah, but what about? You know, it's kind of like the person that comes along and says, the Lord can deliver you from all kinds of addictions, and you're sitting there smoking a cigarette. Well, why haven't you quit smoking? Well, I just can't quit. It destroys your message. You and I this morning, if we're going to be effective in promoting the idea of liberty, we've got to be liberated. And we have to be willing to, don't cover it up and say, well, I'm free. He said I was free, so I'm free indeed. Well, that's a part of it, and that's an important part of it, to proclaim it. But I have found that deliverance is not always automatic or immediate. There's deliverances that happen immediately. We can be delivered from sin, all the past. But the patterns of my life don't automatically change like that ever. All of a sudden, I find that I have to look at those things and begin to recognize from God how I have dealt with my insecurities in the past and the damage that it's done to me emotionally, because there's still people that I believe are as saved as I am and that are struggling with a lot of fear in their lives. The Bible says fear has torment, and it does. Fear will destroy you. Fear will bring you back into bondage again. So whenever I find that I'm struggling with fear, don't discount it. Don't throw it away and say, oh, there's nothing to that. There is, especially to somebody else that's experiencing it. You've been saved. You don't have to worry about fear. If I have lived my life in fear, it's not easy for me to just throw fear off. So I can become emotionally bound to fears, to insecurities, to the rejection. Disappointments can bring me into... We all get disappointed, don't we? I remember the story over there in Acts. Remember the man? I think it was Simon the sorcerer. And he came and he wanted this gift of sanctification and of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the apostles came and they were talking to him about it. Let me read that. I don't want to mess that up. In Acts 8 and 23. When Simon saw through laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness." Now I want us to think about this just a moment, because this man had asked for something that was being given to others freely. And he asked for it, he offered money for it because he saw its great value. And he evidently, based upon the discernment of the apostles, were able to discern this man is wanting to use this in a wrong manner. His heart's not right. But that didn't mean he was hopeless. Because listen to what they said, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." There are things that can, disappointments can lead us to bitternesses if we're not careful. And whenever we allow ourselves to become emotionally attached to a disappointment, now think about that statement for a minute. Life disappoints us. Troubles come. Pain happens. Rejection, or somebody, a loved one, maybe it's a parent, or maybe it's a husband or a wife, or maybe it's a child. It leaves us. And we feel rejected by that, or we feel disappointed or hurt by that. We feel grief if it's a loss. All of those are natural, normal emotions that you and I have to experience, or what we want to experience them. That's what adds color to our life. That's what makes life enjoyable, is that we have emotion and so forth. But they all have potential to lead us into bondage, because disappointments can cause me, instead of recognizing, yeah, I'm hurt, and I take my hurts to God and say, "Lord, I'm hurting." Or I talk to somebody else about it. Yeah, I hurt, you know. And we don't go around exposing our dirty laundry to everybody. How are you feeling today? Oh, I'm hurting. I don't do that. Usually we'll say, "Fine, thank you." Or, you know, the Lord's blessing, or whatever, however you want to say that. But there comes times, if you're hurting, you need to tell somebody you're hurting. Because if you don't, that hurt will stay in there. Yeah, we can internalize it to the point to where everybody around me doesn't know that I'm hurting. Or everybody around me doesn't know that I'm struggling with bitterness, or that I'm struggling with depression. Yeah, there's people that are depressed, that are saved and sanctified, that have experienced difficulties in their life. Sometimes it's based on some physical stuff. But sometimes it's based upon just emotional problems and troubles. Sometimes it comes from all way back. It can be inherited some. Those kind of things kind of follow down through genetics. Whatever it is, don't discount it. Don't try to cover it up and say, "Well, I'm saved, so I'm not supposed to be depressed, so I'm not depressed." That's lying to yourself. And so, whenever you're feeling those kinds of feelings, let me encourage you to open them up, expose them, talk to the Lord about them, talk to people about them, people that you can trust, people that you know is going to respect you. That's another little side area I wanted to mention. You know, every one of us have this personal space that is me. And one of the great dangers in taking advantage of people's freedom and liberty is getting in there without being asked or without being invitation. So be careful about that. But you that are maybe suffering or struggling with areas, emotional bondages in your life, don't just discount them. Don't act as if they're not there. Face them. Deal with them. Talk to the Lord about them. Admit they're there. I want help. Because that's what Jesus came to bring. He came to bind up the brokenhearted. This experience of salvation is not just a one-time thing. It's an ongoing life that you and I live. And as we become affected by circumstances in life, and they all have potential to lead us in the wrong direction, because every one of these things I've described so far, also there it leads to spiritual bondages. Emotional bondage can lead to spiritual bondage. And there's degrees of that that you and I need to be aware of. Because, yeah, the man in the gardens that was he was consumed by the devil. He was possessed by the devil. But there are oppressions of the devil that you and I have to struggle with and resist and stand against, be aware of. And they are fed many times by our emotions. It's very easy for you if you struggle with depression sometimes. And that can be an emotional trauma, a very difficult thing to struggle with. It can be a battle. But don't give up. Don't quit. Don't surrender to it. Don't try to hide it or try to put it in a back seat somewhere. Deal with it, because if you don't, it leads to spiritual problems. And spiritual oppression of the enemy can lead to spiritual possession of the enemy. And somewhere in the middle of that, when you surrender, you literally surrender yourself. You're not only surrendering yourself to the enemy, but you're surrendering or giving up your freedom in Christ. And there's a place where you have to reject God in order to be bound by Satan. I believe that. There's a line that you can cross there. But there is a gray area there that people struggle with. And in this situation with this man, he evidently didn't have salvation, because so he couldn't experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But the apostles were wise enough to realize you've got some serious stuff inside, bitternesses that you need to surrender to the Lord and ask forgiveness for in order to have the infilling of the Spirit of God. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And that doesn't mean that the Spirit of the Lord is never there when there is no you're not experiencing liberty. But it is a process. The word liberty there literally means access. And what it means where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's access to God for deliverance in whatever you and I face, whatever you and I are struggling with in our life, whatever place we find ourselves in. And I find that as life goes on, different stages in life bring different challenges and bring different places that I have to battle and struggle and work through with the Lord. But remember this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You can be delivered as long as the Spirit of the Lord is in tune and working in your need. You'll find liberty there. You reject the Spirit of the Lord. And many times the Spirit of the Lord, I say many times, I think it's always. There's always a sacrifice of self. There's always a giving up of me. Because even those painful things that I have carried in my life, whether it was rejection or whether it's been fear, God doesn't want His people dominated by fear all their lives. He wants them to find deliverance. He wants them to find security. He wants them to find freedom to where they can enjoy their life, where they don't pass those same tendencies down to their children, because that's usually where it ends up. Well, He wants us to recognize them, and then He wants us to bring them to Him. And you bring it to God, yes, in prayer, but I have found through experience, personally and also dealing with a lot of other people, that many times just praying alone isn't enough. Many times you have to go ask other people for help. And He gave people for that purpose. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some evangelists, some pastors. Most pastors have experienced a lot of those kinds of things. He gave them for the purpose of being able to share some of your deep feelings with and be able to overcome those and find liberty and deliverance in them. That's what the Lord came to bring us. That's our heritage. That's what He wants us to experience. And so let me challenge you this morning, as we think about freedom, up the ante. It's not just freedom. Whether this country goes down or not. And I personally sometimes think for it to go down might be the best thing that ever happened spiritually to us. That's a hard, painful, because most spiritual gains are gained through sacrifice, through self-denial. And maybe our salvation as a people, at least in our country, is if hard things come, so that we might recognize how much we need God. Well, whether this country ever does that or not, you and I can experience the liberation that He wants to bring to you and I in our own spirits. He wants to help us not have to struggle with those fears that maybe you've carried with you from a child. He wants us to be able to overcome our insecurities so that we're not always looking around wondering what people are thinking about us. You know, if you're living your life as a Christian and the things that you're doing to practice your Christianity, if you're doing that from an insecure position, you're only hurting yourself and hurting everybody around you, because you're giving them a false image. If I can't do the things that I do because I want to, and because I know it's what is expected of me, but at the same time, I understand it's also what gives me the true liberty that I need and desire. If I can't do it for that purpose, then I'm really marring the picture of deliverance that Jesus came to bring. If I cannot live my life to where I'm not always just so concerned about what you think, that I feel in bondage to that, then I'm not ever going to really be able to convince you this is the good way to live. This is the best way to live. I've got to be able to deal with those things in my life. That's what freedom is. There's another freedom that I think is very important for us to consider here this morning, is that I would give you the freedom to do that. Because sometimes dealing with ourselves and dealing with our issues is scary and it's challenging. And one of the main reasons why it never surfaces is because of that very thing, a feeling of being judged because of it. As long as you struggle underneath that oppression, whether it's people, it's actually the enemy oppressing you, making you think, because 9 times out of 10, you know what happens whenever you open up and expose yourself in that sense? 9 times out of 10, and I'm just using that as a hypothetical figure, the person or persons that you talk to will say, I've struggled with some of those same kind of things. I've had to deal with that also. I've hurt like that too. And you find not rejection, you find acceptance. You find that people, now every once in a while, there are some people that will look down their nose at you because that you would admit you had some weakness, admit you had some guilt. I hope that's not you, because if that is, then you're very insecure. You are in bondage, because you need to be able. Well, when you reach a point in your life where you don't have any needs or you don't have any problems, you don't have any issues, you don't have anything that you have to worry about, then I'm not sure you're even supposed to be here. You'll be in heaven. In the meantime, let's just be honest with ourselves. Let's be honest with, because I watch the traumatic results of people that have been physically abused and then emotionally are affected by that physical abuse. And then I'm watching, and it's almost frightening, because partially in my job, I'm not at liberty to be able to point these boys to Christ in an open way. I have to do it subtly. But I've seen the spiritual damage in these young boys' lives that they don't even recognize. I thought sometimes when I first started working for them, a lot of their reading materials, we have a library there in our dorm, and started looking at the stuff. A lot of it's paranormal stuff. A lot of it's blending of animal people. It's all this conglomeration of stuff, but I sense darkness, just darkness in it. And then when I get to talking to them, I had one boy, I don't have his letter with, he wrote me a letter a while back, and he was struggling with identity issues, struggling with parents, and he's an offender, and he's 18 years old. If he don't get help, he's going to prison or going to jail. Just a lot of things. And he said, he wrote me a letter. He said, I am totally, I forget how it all went, but he said, I sense darkness all around me. And it's frightening, and it's oppressive, and it's just haunting me. And he said, you've got to help me, Mr. Tony. He said, I know, I've seen a light. I've seen the light of Christ. I talked to him about that. And he said, but this darkness keeps overwhelming me. And I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy on these poor boys that don't have a clue of what's happening. But it's the enemy that it... And the truth is, I deal with 10 boys. There's 75 boys there that most of them are in the same situations. But our world is full of those kind of people today. They're just being haunted by and overwhelmed by the bondages of the spirits of the enemy. They're coming in. It's like a loosening of those spirits. And I believe that's what's happening in our last days. And you and I want to be able to shine as a light. It's going to take more. There is a benefit to a visible testimony. Somebody being able to see. But they also need something more visible. They need to be able to see that I've experienced freedom and deliverance in my own self. That I have control over my emotions. You know, sometimes these guys push my buttons and it gets to the point to where I'm right at the... And they experience some strong reprimands and that sort of thing. I try to control my anger sometimes because I recognize it's not them that's calling me every name in the book. It's not them. It's who they are. It's just who they've become. It's their defense. And yet, I want them to be able to see that there's something that is still available to them, because what they struggle with, and I've had two boys that we put on suicide watch in the last 3 or 4 months, is hopelessness. They experience that a lot. Because whenever you are in bondage and you don't see any way out, and the bondage keeps getting more severe and more severe, after a while you lose hope that there is any help. And that is a awful pit to look into. Now, most of us probably have never really looked into it, but some of us have probably looked into it on the edge, and it's scary. Very scary. And to think that that's where my life is, that's all my life is going to be, and then you've had the value of life devalued to the point that one of the boy I was talking to about the clean slate told us in group the other day, was trying to get him to understand he had offended his brother, younger brother, and he compared his brother to an ant. From his emotional feelings, he valued an aunt and his brother about the same level. That's incomprehensible for me. But for him, it is. And so, you know, people have that little value of human life. If human life gets too painful, you just eliminate human life, whether it's your own or whether it's somebody else's. Well, you and I this morning have such a wonderful heritage. We have been told, just like as Americans, we have a wonderful heritage of freedom. We take it for granted. You and I have heard that Isaiah 61 ever since we were little children, most of us here have. And we just expect it. And if we get in trouble, I remember a boy came to the altar at Monarch one evening, and he was only about 8 or 9 years old, and he got down and he said, well, I want to get saved. And And I said, well, good. And I said, well, have you ever been saved before? He said, oh, yeah, lots of times. And I said, oh, yeah? I said, yeah, I've been saved a lot of times. And he's only 8 or 9 years old. I said, so you just come up here and get a bath every once in a while, huh? And get cleaned up and then go back and go jump in the mud puddle again. And, well, I guess so. And I said, that's not what this is about. And I tried to help him understand something a little better. But you know, sometimes we kind of do that. We kind of take it for granted that forgiveness is there. That, yeah, I'll hold on to this for a while, but I can get rid of it because all I got to do is go to the altar and get it fixed. What we need to realize is those things, the longer they hang around, the more entrenched they get, and the more difficult they are to identify, and the more difficult they are to get rid of. And then we mar the message for these people that are out there hurting severely and that need a deliverance message. We struggle with really being able to communicate that with them, because we're maybe struggling with our own bondages. The Lord came to give us freedom. And He said, if you know the truth will make you free. The truth is, yes, an understanding of this. But there's even a more personal truth that you and I need to be aware of, and that's truly knowing who I am in the sight of God. Now, I remember had an old minister, pastor, used to pray, Lord, help us to see ourselves as You see us. And as I got older, I thought I would repeat those kind of prayers. And that's the way I learned to pray. And I got a little older and I realized, Lord, I don't think I want to pray that way. You just help me to see some of myself as You see me. And then whenever I've got that and taken care of, help me to see some more of what I... Because if I saw myself as God saw me, it might be a little too painful for me. But He's still working on us. And I'm thankful that He is. And I'm thankful that He still offers that liberty, that indeed liberty. And it can affect any particular place that you may be struggling with right now. So enjoy your freedom. Don't take advantage of it. Don't abuse it. Don't use it as a stumbling block against somebody else. And don't forget that you have it. Otherwise, you'll neglect it. Mm-hmm.